Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is our grand comeback of November 1st, 2018. And you can find this I'm Back From Having a Baby podcast on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. And this week's episode, we're talking about endgame gearing in MMOs, including, of course, SOTOR. So more specifically, we'll be looking at the difference between PvP and PvE in SOTOR. And here to join us is Nezer. Nezer is a fellow SOTORista, and he loves his PvP. So hey, Nezer, thanks for coming on the show, and what have you been up to this week?
Guys, thanks so much for having me. This is a pleasure. Mostly, you know, when real life permits, SWOTOR, pretty much. You know, working on Conquest, mostly. Yeah, not as much as I'd like, but I think with the lull, the calm before the storm, with the 5.10 and all that coming out, I actually fired up Neverwinter this past week. I haven't touched that game in, I don't know, a year or two. Just to do something different.
Very cool.
Is never so there's two Neverwinter. So which one is the newest one? Is that Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter?
Neverwinter Nights was the old BioWare RPG back in the day, and that was a blast. I mean, I grew up as a, you know, D&D player. Kind of why I like Stranger Things on Netflix, because that was me when I was growing up in the 80s. So Neverwinter, I guess, online is Perfect World. You know, the guys that do Star Trek Online. Is their version of Neverwinter set in the, I don't know if you guys, you know, done some Forgotten Realms D&D, but it's set in the Forgotten Realms. So it's kind of neat just seeing it, you know, all the things that I've visualized playing D&D over the years. It's kind of neat seeing the visualization of it. Game's kind of, it's got some issues, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun to put yourself in that world of lore.
Yeah, and it, like I said, there's a bit of a lull right now, I think. It's kind of slow, just waiting for the expansion. Everything I'm doing, I'm like, okay, I'm working for what when the gear changes come up in 5.10. So,
yeah. Right, right. Very cool.
I'm sorry, I was just drinking some beer.
Yeah. Okay, I can't just ignore that. So I got Marcus, we got to do a quick sidebar here. I got Marcus a crazy beer from Treehouse this week. It's Julius, their like the super extra version of their flagship beer. And he liked it so much when he, you know, started sipping it before the show. Like, you know when like a beer makes somebody almost cry that it must be ridiculously good? He's you know, mentioned it's probably one of his favorite beers ever. And he was just licking the inside of the cup that he was drinking it out of. As Nezer was finishing talking. So
I didn't want it to end.
It's hard to ignore that and stay focused on the show when you have,
well, no, I was completely focused.
The crazy Greek tongue action going.
Well, we've never I've only played D&D a couple times, and every time I've played it, it's been the Dungeon Master's own game. So he's created the story, he's done all the things, he's created, you know, he goes in the book for the monsters, but it's never been a scripted D&D book from, you know, a storyline. So we never got to go to the Upside Down and fight the Demigorgon. Right. But an even better sidebar is tomorrow I'm going to pick up Stranger Things issue 2.
Oh, the comic?
The comic. So it's a 4-part series, and all 4 parts are talking about season 1's time, and it's all Will in the Upside Down.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I have the first issue. It's in my desk, and it's fucking awesome.
I'll have to check that out.
You definitely should. So you probably can find it for free online or buy the digital copy. It's $3.99. Support them.
Yeah, that's
because you know, if you like a TV show and they make a comic, support it because it's cheap and that helps them make the show better.
Yeah,
longer.
Absolutely.
And even more onto Stranger Things. You know, the Duffer Brothers, the Doofer Brothers, whatever they are.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them. So it was their season 3 was supposed to come out at Halloween.
Oh, right.
And they told Netflix, go fuck yourself. We're not ready.
Yeah.
Netflix threw up a huge stink about it because they're like, Halloween, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, summer 2019.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll push it to
Halloween 2019.
But
yeah.
They stood up and they're like, no, we need to put out the best product ever because to me, season 3 is always make or break.
Yeah,
because you have season 1 is always amazing.
Yeah,
season 2, you're like, it was good, but it wasn't as good as
the first season.
First season, but now, like, season three, you need to come out of the park swinging, yeah. or people are going to be like, yeah, it lost traction. You know, season one was great, season two was meh, and now yeah. season three is just blah. So, yeah. like, they gotta dig through. Yeah. Anyway, so back to what Nezra was saying about Neverwinter and D&D, there was a friend of mine who played DDO because he's a huge Dungeons & Dragons fan.
Mm-hmm.
He played it for like 8 years straight. So, and it's basically the same rule set as Neverwinter. And I think Neverwinter is free to play, right?
It is free to play, yes. There are limitations on it, but yeah.
But their subscription service isn't like your standard $15 a month. It's you buy boxes.
Yeah, I don't think you get a – you buy Zen, which like in SWTOR, yes. like the cartel coins.
Okay. Right.
And there's – they got the – they're imagine the command crates, but you had to use command cartel coins to open them. That's what that game is. And that's one of the things that I actually find quite annoying because it's, you know, boxes of you-know-what, to quote Brian, you know, from Bad Feeling.
Right.
Boxes of dicks.
That's it right there.
All right. This is a completely explicit. Don't be afraid to drop the bomb because I'm sure I'm going to.
Yeah. Say boxes whatever you want. Dicks.
Nothing but it. I mean, I bought some Zen. Oh, what's it? I'll get me in this neat new mount. And they tell you what you could get in that specific box. It's like there is a chance of getting this dick. And you get nothing but dicks in it. And that's what's frustrating. One of the frustrating things about it. But like I said, I could go on about the issues with it. But it was a nice change of pace. There's a lot of fun things about that game, too.
Yeah.
Not something I would, you know, something I've dabbled. AIE, you know, I was in the AIE Discord and asking a few people about it. And I was talking to, I guess, oh gosh, SEMA and a few others about it. There's no permanent AIE presence there simply because there just wasn't enough interest. But again, as a D&Der, it's neat to dabble.
You know, it's a great way to get involved more in the AIE guild as a whole. You know, don't be afraid to get into the Nomads channel and talk about it and bring it up and get people to say, hey, have you guys tried Neverwinter? And, you know, some people may just download it just to try it because it's free. I find that, you know, that's the best way to do it. And then if, what happens is if a lot of people start playing it, like Destiny 2 was coming out and it was completely taking over the Nomads channel. They were filling up their clans and all this. And they were like, oh my God, we have to create a channel just for Destiny because the Nomads are kind of just, you know, somebody asks about Rust.
Yeah.
And it gets lost in the Destiny 2 conversation. It kind of defeats the purpose of the channel.
Right, right, right.
So I see in the notes that you say, you hit your conquest on a fun slinger, but you had not enough time to get your commando.
Right.
Which do you prefer to play, your commando?
Well, my main, you know, my Nezzer is lethality operative. So, you know, that's always been my main. I love that class. On the pub side, you know, what is it? I had a commando for a while, but then I started playing finally, 3 years? No. 5 years into the game, I'd never leveled a gunslinger or a sniper, and I finally did it. I'm having a blast with it. It's so much fun. But, you know, real life gets in the way, so sometimes you can only get one tune to conquest.
Absolutely.
How many tunes did I get to conquest last week, Nick?
None.
How about the week before?
Also none.
How about the week before that?
Survey says also none.
Yeah, I'm the worst conquest guy in the world. I've talked about it many times. I feel bad because I let the team down. The only time I hit my conquest goal is if I do mandatory fun night, and it happens to be rampages that week, and they do it in mandatory fun night, or I end up doing a shit ton of ops that all count for conquest points. Right. That's the only time I do it.
All right, well, let me ask you guys a question then. Yeah. So my question for you guys is, why even do Conquest at all? What's the purpose to you guys for Conquest and SWTOR?
I'll go first. Well, for me, I haven't really done a whole lot of Conquest. But whenever I did, you know, participate in something that counted towards Conquest, I was just helping out the guild. Because I know I personally don't particularly care about it that much, but I know other people in the guild do. And if it's a, you know, a group that you're a part of, I'd like to contribute. You know what I mean? That's what it is for me anyway.
For me, it's, I don't do it necessarily, and it's probably more time-based because of it, but it's an awesome meta to the actual game. When they changed it, people bitched about it, but honestly, it's brought our guild together, and all of these lulls of content, it's kept the guild going. I mean, it's an actual thing that people focus on. I mean, when it first changed, you know, people were hitting 1-2 tunes. Now people are hitting like 5 to 10 tunes a week. And it's become their purpose of playing the game now until all these new updates come out. I think it's a great way to unify the community and in your guild.
Okay, I'll say two things. One, I agree 100% with what you just said. It is a great unifying. I love what it does, and everyone comes together to accomplish it. It's a mountain to climb, as it were. For me personally, what does on any one given tune? Why do I care that any one of my given tunes does? And let me tell you, before I joined AIE, and I'm going to a little side venture here in a second, but it's really about hitting the conquest so you can get those charged matter transubstantiators, so you can get your augments, so you can craft your augments. That is the best, quickest, easiest way if you're not a raider to get them. Okay,
that's a good point.
You know, so I want to get it so I can, get that box of, you know, 3 or 4 CMTs. I mean, that really is one main thing. It kind of goes to the whole gear progression thing that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm gonna give a big shout out to Marcus, and I've said this to you before. Big shout out to you. You embody to me what I love about MMOs and specifically AIE and that sense of community. And you wrote me in from years of being in other guilds, including Bad Feeling. Brian's been awesome. Great guy. Love him. And Chuck. But bringing into the whole AIE, I love that community. It's one of the reasons why I love SWTOR so much.
Well, thanks, man.
Kudos to you, man.
Well, I want everybody to play with us. And, you know, I have a lot of fun on Monday nights doing the Fun Feeling Mondays with Brian and the guys. And, you know, watching the AIE guild grow and, you know, get more players in it, whether it's me or Max and Seymour or anybody, Zen pulling people in, or people seeing B. Kavanaugh's conquest spreadsheet and they're like, wow, this guy's awesome, I want to be there. You know, so many new people have come around. I think it's great.
It's a great community. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love the fact that it transcends a single game. That's to me the best thing. So if I did want to go into Neverwinter or any other, you know, Guild Wars 2 or whatever, it's like, oh, hey, there's guildies. Heck, just waiting before, you know, we started the show, I just popped in to the WoW chat just for, you know, shits and giggles, and was chatting with some of those guys. Hey, what's the latest going on in WoW? I ditched that game, you know, a while ago. What's new and latest? And just having fun chatting with people. It's awesome. Sure. I love the community.
For sure. So, Nick, what have you been up to these past 3 weeks?
Well, you know, I like to write my notes for the shows on like the Tuesday of the week. And I got a lot of gaming done from when I wrote the notes and then now.
So, well, yeah, it's because you didn't want to come back from a 3 week hiatus and have like,
oh, I was a light gaming week for 3 fucking weeks. Like, that's just bullshit.
Yeah, no matter how busy you are.
Yeah, there's no excuse. Like, get some gaming done.
Exactly.
You prick.
Right now.
You're on a gaming podcast. So, I originally wrote, I've been playing Spider-Man like a madman, which is true. I was scrambling to finish that game so that I could go play Red Dead Redemption 2. And Spider-Man is fantastic. I had originally planned on 100%ing it, getting, you know, everything done in the game, but I just didn't have time before I, you know, want to get into Red Dead Redemption 2. So
what percentage were you at when you finally decided you're not getting 100%?
Like 80.
Well, you can still go back, can't you?
Yeah, I could go back, but like, odds are like,
you're not going back. You have too many games.
I have Red Dead Redemption to play. I have, you know, God of War, I still never even played. But anyways, so I was like, you know what? Let me just finish the story. Just, you know, get this done. And then I can go play Red Dead Redemption. So I finally finished it I think it was Tuesday night. No, Wednesday. Tuesday night or Wednesday. And it was incredible. Honestly, I played a lot the past couple days leading up to that. And, at some points, I had tears in my eyes at how, impactful the story was. I honestly think the Spider-Man PS4 game is my second favorite piece of Marvel media that's come out since, the new Marvel Cinematic Universe expansion, stuff like that. Behind, Infinity War, of course, because you got to give respect to the big team up there. But it was incredible. 10 out of 10, can't recommend Spider-Man enough. Go play it if you want. If you like Marvel or Spider-Man at all, it's fantastic. Whew. That being said, I also started Red Dead Redemption 2. And oh boy, that game's awesome. I played Red Dead Redemption 1 when I was younger, obviously, on the good old Xbox 360. And that was the first game I've ever 100%ed. I got everything in that game. I didn't get the DLC because I was, poor. But I played the whole first game. It's fantastic. And already the first one takes all the mechanics from, the second one takes all the mechanics of the first game and adds upon them. There's a whole survival element about it now. That's pretty cool. You actually have to eat to keep your health up and your stamina up. Eat food, and then you have to feed your horse and stuff like that too. So keep your horse's stats up, which I think is pretty cool. There's hunting that they had in the first game, but this is a little more cooler because the hunting in this game helps feed your settlement, sort of. It's the rest of the people in your gang. You mm-hmm. help them out, and then they can help you out with different stuff. So it's really cool that it's more of a, you're playing as this one character, Arthur, but he's a part of a community, and it's there's a lot of focus on you interacting with that community. Besides just you being the Lone Ranger like you were in the first game.
Right.
Which is pretty awesome. So I haven't even finished the tutorial yet.
It's actually long. I think it's 3 hours.
Yeah, I think I'm probably about...
an hour and a half or something.
Yeah. I think I'm probably an hour and a half or 2 hours in. So I'm almost done, I think, with the tutorial. But I think probably have
Did you kill the deer?
Yeah, I killed the deer. I just went with Dutch and some rest of the gangs to go hunt down Colmo Driscoll, one of the other...
Ooh, did you do the mission yet or no?
No, not yet. Started it and then looked at the clock and was like, shit, I got to go to Marcus's, to start the podcast.
Oh, you just did it tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, I killed the deer tonight before I came over. And then, I had to come here to record this lovely show.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it for me. I was scrambling to finish Spider-Man and then, dove right into Red Dead Redemption 2. So, Marcus, you've been just a little busy. Have you slept at all?
No.
Have you been playing any games at all?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. I'm surprised.
Okay. First of all, baby's healthy. He came out 20 inches long, 6 pounds, 15 ounces.
What?
Yeah, I'm pretty proud. He doesn't sleep.
Yep.
So it's really hard right now. And my wife's a real trooper because I'm back to work now and... I still wake up with the baby, but I don't get out of bed. I do the 1:30 in the morning feeding,
mm-hmm.
and then I try to go back to bed. And usually he fights me until 3,
mm-hmm.
and then I sleep until 5. Mm-hmm. But he's usually up until then. It's fucking tough, man.
Yeah,
but I'm not here to cry. He's awesome, and I know that I'm gonna have so much fun with him.
And as he grows older. And stuff.
But milestone, dad level shit. You know what Redbubble is?
Redbubble. Yeah. The
t-shirt
website.
A t-shirt company or
crazy logos.
Yeah. Yeah. So I bought my daughter a Stormtrooper t-shirt. She mm-hmm. fucking loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I bought, my son, the Utini Knights t-shirt with the single blue lightsaber.
Oh, that's cool.
Because AIE doesn't have any sweet t-shirts yet. I'm working on that. And, so he got his onesie in. I hope my wife washed it because I can't wait to see his ass in it. But he's going to shit up his back and have to be washed again. It's just going to be for one picture and then it's fucking done.
Yeah.
But... I want to just talk about Twitch streaming really quick. Well, it's probably going to go on a little rant. So we had the baby.
Yep.
So for 10 days, I barely gamed.
Mm-hmm.
How does it get? Excuse me. I wasn't working.
Yep.
How does a gamer get his fix without
actually playing a game?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I'll watch, you know, Doc Sotor, Scrub, or, you know, Max. And, you know, I'll get involved in some of the streams, but never to the point where I watch almost a whole stream.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a shit ton up until, you know, this week. So I would say 10 days mm-hmm. of watching streamers.
Yeah.
And, you know, your usual Dr. Sotor, Chill, Striker, Scrub, Max and Seema. One that stands out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a girl or a guy. Lauren is the name.
L-O-R-H-I-N.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he or she is a Nightmare Raider. And fuck, man. I want to do that content.
Yeah.
Like watching. He or she is a healer. And I watched the shit out of it. And I get involved in the chat. And I actually apologize because like I ask questions about the fight. Because yeah. I don't see it in story mode. Like,
right.
There's extra mechanics, and my mind is boggled. Like, how the fuck are you alive?
Right.
Like,
right.
That shit just hit somebody for, like, 70,000 hit points, and you healed him through that. How the fuck does that happen?
Right.
You know? And I do see a Marauder on the team, so I'm like, fuck, I could do this.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not on, a hard mode team?
Right.
And watching it, it's so awesome. And the person, Lauren, engages me, you know, chats with me, and you know, it's
answers your questions.
Yeah, so I had to give he or she a shout out because I've really been watching the stream.
Yeah,
so I think I wrote it in the show notes, and this is probably terrible of me. It's yeah, Lorhin. So check her or him out on Twitch, please do that because I enjoy watching. And also, I see the person on multiple streams, like, subbing in. So it just shows that there's, like, a shortage of Nightmare Raiders.
Right.
So, again, I'm like, why the fuck am I not doing this?
Right.
But I don't even know if I can, like, compare to these people.
Yeah.
Because, like, I tend to stand in stupid every now and again. And
stand in stupid.
And, like, the hardest content, you stand in stupid, you're dead.
Right.
And they're going to be really pissed off at you.
Yeah.
And that's something else that is, you know, tip my cap is – these people do the hardest content, and when you do that content, it's about failing.
Yeah.
You can try 100 times and be successful once.
Right.
And they don't get mad at each other. They don't blame anybody. They just fail, and they're like, okay, we got to try this. Move on.
Yeah.
But there's no yelling.
Right.
Nobody gets pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's the best part for me. So hats off to those people.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I've been playing my Gunslinger. Now, I don't have legendary status in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, while I'm on baby break, I'll play and I'll be upstairs on my new peninsula. And if the baby cries, I can get up because I can walk away and help my wife. So I've been playing that. It's been fun. But I'll tell you what, that Funslinger does not do as much damage as my Marauder. Maybe it's because it's level 25 and I feel like I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
Which is probably true, but fuck that.
It's not the same, yeah.
No, guns do nothing for me.
Yeah.
Two lightsabers do everything for me.
Yeah. The two lightsabers is really cool.
Yeah.
What spec do you play?
As a Marauder?
No, as a Funslinger.
I don't know.
You're level 25.
Yeah.
Did you get that far yet?
Well, yeah, I did it. So tell me what they are. Well, I think it mirrors the marksman.
The marksmanship. I forget what it's called, actually.
Sharpshooter?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because I have an agent, and I want to be able to pass the gear back and forth, so that's why I did it.
That's more the PvP bursty spec. It doesn't do as much from a PvE standpoint.
Oh.
You know, like the engineering, like bomb type, it does more for PvP or PvE. And I think also the dot spec is also supposed to be good, but that's a lot harder to master.
Right. And so I've been playing a lot on my Alienware laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Two things I've realized about playing on a laptop.
Yeah.
It's fucking tough.
What do you mean?
Well, my Alienware is a 13-inch.
Yeah.
So it's awesome, portable. It's got enough power to play the game. I think I'm playing it on like high settings, not like ultra.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Well, it bothers me.
I know.
But I find that playing on a laptop, I find myself squinting And
that's because you're spoiled.
Well, I know, but
you have a fucking 28-inch, two, like four. Well, one of them's 4K, one of them's 1080, and they're both at least 25 inches.
27.
Okay, yeah, 20. But, they're both 27.
Right. So it's nice, but even like the keyboard is so compact.
Well, it also doesn't help you. You're playing on a 13-inch laptop. Mine's a 15-inch.
Well, right. So don't tell Carrie. I'm going to sell this 13 and I'm going to buy a 17. I'm going to buy the Alienware 17. I've already been looking.
Yeah.
Cause, and it gives you the number keypad. It's just a bigger machine.
Yeah.
I don't know how like versatile that thing will probably be a tank. Yeah, cause right. I see yours and I thought yours was a 17. No, so that means 15. the 17 is even bigger than that. That's going to be like a boat. I don't even know if you could transport that thing.
No, it won't even fit in a backpack.
Yeah. Fuck. Well, maybe I'll go with a 15. Anyway,
go 17. Go 17.
I'm probably gonna.
Yeah.
But when you're staring at the little screen, I find myself like getting so close and squinting.
It's like taxing on your eyes.
Yeah.
Especially, I can imagine, you know, with all the little user interface things that are, it's like there's a lot going on in SOTOR.
Well, I blow it up so much where like the user interface is like taking over my screen because I need it to be.
Right. Because on the smaller screen, you got to make it a bigger.
Right.
Take up more pixels for you.
Right. So either way, that's my gaming. But I just want to say thanks to everybody who has reached out, congratulated me on the baby, and everything is going well. My wife is doing well, except I think she's a little mad that I'm doing this podcast and not upstairs helping. But sorry, babe, I'll be upstairs soon.
So, without further ado,
in SOTOR news,
that's what I was going to say. Do you have anything new going on in SOTOR?
Nick, so over the course of the past couple of days, they've had the PTS up, and their people have been testing it. They came out with this news about what they've updated in the PTS. You want to go over what the general is? We're not going to really dive too far into it.
Sure. So the general says, the Ossus Daily area is now ready for PTS testing, and for the first time, players will be able to access the area. Poker face?
I don't understand that. Me neither.
I don't either. Anyways, just open the Galaxy map, and you'll find Ossus. It's just southwest of Voss. They also fixed an issue where players could not purchase items from some of the PTS vendors.
I heard about that bug.
The 252 gear vendor, ED5E, is now present on the Odessian landing area.
Well, that's pretty sweet. I want to know what it's like to have 252 gear.
You must feel like a god.
Yeah.
They also fixed an issue where nightmare crystals could only be used in Gods for the Machine instead of the intended behavior of being able to use everywhere except Gods of the Machine. Check boxes are hard. That's funny. The tight skip button has been enabled in master mode, allowing thusly inclined players to bypass the encounter to test Alvila and Esni.
Oh, so you know what that says?
Yeah.
People can't beat Tithe.
Right.
That's what it's saying. You master mode is so fucking hard that they can't beat Tithe.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they're not testing any of the other bosses because they can't beat Tithe.
Wow.
That's fucking great. Nice job, Matt. Nice. He put fucking Swedish Fish in the machine and said, fuck you, I'm not.
Right.
Anyway. Moving forward.
Wow.
But that's great.
We should revisit that. There's a lot of emotion there.
Oh, I think it's great. Master mode is intended to be the hardest fucking content.
Yeah.
And it should be fucking nearly impossible.
Yeah.
And I watched some of the PTS, back to that Lauren person.
Yeah.
I watched some of it. The beginning part of the fight, if you've done Tithe, you get in and we pull them over to one corner and it starts off nice and gentle and everybody's just beating on the boss.
Yeah.
In Nightmare, fuck no. There's two magma droids that instantly spawn with two guardians or graces right away. Fucking mayhem from the time you set, like, start the fight.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I would so die instantly.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he does one move and everybody's dead. And I'm like, how the fuck do you even fix that? And they're like, oh, we'll figure it out. I'm thinking to myself, you can't stop his ability from going off.
Right.
How the fuck do you stop that ability? And they're like, we'll figure it out. There's got to be a way.
Yeah.
So them doing that is just saying that nobody can beat Tython.
Yeah,
fuck off.
They're trying to get
people, the Nightmare Raiders who are pitching that there's no Nightmare content.
Yeah.
They got their, they met their match. And that's the first fucking boss.
Right. The other ones are supposed to be harder.
Yeah, as it progresses.
Right.
So I guess later on, somebody asked about with this new gearing change that's coming in 5.10.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to change the PvP bolster? And Eric wrote,
hey folks, the current plan is that in 5.10 bolster will have the following item ratings: gear 248 and up from 242, and the augments are going to be from 236 up from 208. So the bolster is going to be bringing you up from 242 to 248, and the augments are going to go up from 208 to 236. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, so basically they're almost maxing you out at our current gear set.
Right.
Because 248 is our current highest.
Right.
And 240 is our current highest in augments.
Right. So he also said, as always, this is subject to change, and I will let you know of any other adjustments. Thanks, Eric.
Nazir, you have any comments on that?
Oh, I have a lot of comments on PvP.
Well, I'm just saying changing the bolster.
Yeah, I think the general overall PvP community is really up in arms over that. That, you know, when they do it to the bolster, I don't know. The bolster is just, I think we would really rather at this point not have a bolster, but give us a separate PvP gear set. Go back to the old, you know, have expertise on the gear.
Well, sure. Because but they're not doing that. They're not going to do it right now.
No, they're not. They're not, and that's what everyone's up in arms in because of the gear changes that they got coming up in the new tier system is why that bolster system doesn't really work.
But if you think forget about expertise gear for the second, and expertise is just a pure PvP gear set.
Mm-hmm.
You forget about that for one sec, and you say, okay. So if you get Nightmare Raiders who do PvP and they're in 252 or 258 gear and you can't, and there's no bolster, it's going to be a shit show.
Well, I think the overall complaint is not because of the bolster. It's just because of the whole gear system itself and the whole tier, you know, five gear that it is, you know, to get to the 252 or the 258. How do you get there? All right, fine. I mean, look, for the casual player, if I'm speaking as a casual player, you know, here I am. We talked about using the conquest system and the command crates to go get my CMTs so I can craft my, the augments. Great. Fantastic. Now, all of a sudden, for the next however long, it's like, okay, I'm spending all this time and energy to get to it. And the best thing that I'm going to do is like the 236 augments. Okay, I can bolster right up to it. Great, fantastic. You know, but then to be in a PvP in a war zone with 242 gear, you know, it just isn't going to do anything. Or 248, rather, compared to people that are going to come in, Nightmare Raiders that are going to come in with, 250, what is it, 256?
Gear? No, 252 and 258.
258 gear. Yeah, it's just not exactly exciting anyone.
Well, we'll see. I think it's going to take people a little while to get the 258 gear, full gear set. I think the only way you can get the 258 gear is via Master Mode Ops.
Right, which, as you were talking about, it seems like they're almost impossible to even beat.
Right.
To beat anything.
But we'll get into the gearing stuff a little bit.
Right.
In AIE news, Friday, October 19th, they had a town hall meeting, and they discussed all of the games that AIE is a part of, the big games. I think there's eight, what the greater community plays. Once they finished talking about that, they discussed what's happening in AIE as a whole, as like the entire guild,
mm-hmm.
and what the officers have been working on. Actually, I got to listen to it in the hospital, which was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
You know, baby was sleeping. I popped in a headphone and I kind of just listened.
Followed along, yeah.
I wish I could have chimed in a little bit more, but again, I got to listen. Last Friday, the officer team hosted the mega event for the guild, which is that monthly epic guild activities event that I created. And, you know, what's funny is I told him like 8 weeks ago that I wasn't going to be able to host it because we were having a baby. So it was on them. And as the weeks went on, I didn't really, you know, push them at all. And then like 2 weeks before in the chat, they were like, hey, about that mega event, did we finalize that? And I jumped right in. I was like, wait a minute. You guys haven't set this shit up yet? And they're like, Marcus, nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here. Yeah. Move along. And I fucking loved it. Either way, so last Friday they did it. It was a cool event. So it was right around Halloween. So they did a costume contest.
Oh, cool.
Which there were three categories. So spooky, scary, pop culture, and funny.
Yeah.
And it had a pretty good turnout and everybody had fun. After they did it, I think they killed some world bosses, but I'm not really sure on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into our AI Discord, Max posted Thon is his name. He's one of our guildies. And he made some of these costumes himself. Now, he was away, so he couldn't be involved. Like Iron Thon. And he looks like Iron Man. And Wonder Thon is Wonder Woman. But like the costumes
are perfect.
Unbelievable. Like he must have spent hours making these costumes.
Yeah, perfect. All from outfits like in the game. Right?
In the game.
That's cool.
Unbelievable. Like unreal. And obviously he would have been a judge if he could come. But on Friday, November 30th, and that it might be subject to change. I'm just waiting on confirmation. At 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is real world time.
Yep.
Mega is back with me. So there's going to be a little planning. I'm not ready to break it down yet, but the name of it is Sima's Gone to Voss. And Nick, as you know, Voss is a planet.
Yeah, I'm aware. I know who Sima is.
Yeah. So that's a hint. It's going to be really fun. I can't wait to break down all of the details, but I don't want to say too much. And then I have to tone it back a little. I've actually called in reinforcements for this one. So I'm going to have a help from a guildie. I asked her to give me a hand with it. So we're going to create this event and
details to come.
Yeah. And obviously we're going to Voss. One more thing about Voss. It's the most beautiful planet in the game. It's fall. It's like fall New England weather.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole planet is. It's fucking beautiful. It really is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds fun, especially for the timing. That's like right, you know, right in the middle of fall.
Right. And if all this sounds fun to you, go to aie-guild.org and get our Discord information. And if you want to find me, I'm mostly in the SOTOR channel, but you can jump in any of them in any of the big games we play, and we can get you a guild invite. An officer like myself can get you in, and you can come play with me, Nick, Nazir, Max, Sima, and Dent. And we all know Dent, if he's playing Red Dead Redemption, probably right now, loving life.
Wait, there's no way he's playing right now. It's past his bedtime. It's past 8:30 Eastern time. He's got to be asleep.
Dent?
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Brian.
Brian's sound asleep.
Brian's sound asleep. Sorry, Dent. Yeah. I know you're dead. You'll have it early.
Dent stays up until like 4 in the morning. He's crazy. Like that. Anyway. One last thing is we are 10 days away from SOTOR Unite. So Doc SOTOR and I united all of us podcasters, and we are going to be doing Gods from the Machine, a 16-man run on November 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern over here on the Starforge server. Mm-hmm. And we want you guys to watch us fail. Because it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, you guys have never run together ever.
Ever.
And you're doing the hardest.
And our two tanks, well, I'm confirmed one of the tanks has never beat Isaac. So I don't know if the other one has yet, and we're going to find out. We've tried to do trial runs, but everybody always has something to do. So
it's going to be
I hope we can pull it out. But if not, the chat is going to be troll heaven. Like, you guys are the worst players ever. How can you guys even podcast about this fucking game when you can't play the game?
That's
funny. Yeah. Anyway, Nick, I'm sure you have to pee by now.
I certainly do.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
No. No. I forgot.
What did you forget?
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah. You played, motherfucker. Why didn't you say anything about it?
So, I'm in the hospital.
Yep.
And everybody's talking about this fucking game. I'm watching people stream it. I'm watching people play it.
Yep.
And I'm like, I held out on Grand Theft Auto 5 because I'm like, it's not out for the PC. Fuck that.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you held out?
Buying it.
Oh, originally.
Originally.
Now I see what you're saying. Yep.
And then I got it for when it came out for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't do it. I couldn't stop.
You couldn't hold out for Red Dead Redemption 2 in the same way. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So what got me was there was a part in the intro when they're climbing this fucking mountain.
Yeah.
And the graphics show this guy walking in knee-deep of snow.
Yeah.
There was no action. He was just fucking walking through snow.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to play this game.
It's really cool.
It's really good. So I got through the tutorial. I've gotten to my new base camp, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I've done one or two like little missions.
Yeah.
And I haven't picked it up since because I've been having a lot of fun playing my gunslinger.
Right.
And this is the hardest part about MMOs. And it's almost our segue into our topic.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to play Red Dead Redemption, but I fucking love Star Wars so much.
Yeah, but you can't.
Right. And I have a PlayStation 4 Pro, and Red Dead looks beautiful on it.
Yeah, your TV's 4K too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like maximizing the PS4 Pro.
Correct.
Capabilities, I should say.
But I really want to sell my PS4 Pro.
Right.
Because
you just don't play it?
No, I want an Xbox One X.
Oh.
I fucking hate
the PlayStation controller.
I hate the PlayStation controller. Like, X is not meant to be at the bottom. That's A. That's and when fair. They're like, and I hit, they hit X, and I'm always hitting the wrong button.
Oh, yeah, you're hitting square. When they say hit X, you hit square because that's where it is on the Xbox controller. Yeah.
And the Xbox controller is just so much better, and the Xbox interface is better. Now, the Xbox One X, the hardware inside that system blows away the PS4 Pro.
It does. You'll have no argument for me.
And I don't play with anybody other than you and Al.
Yeah, but that's only on Siege.
Right.
All the other games you have are single player.
Right. So my thought is I sell this PS4 Pro, I'll get close to what I can get for an Xbox One X.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure I can sell the PlayStation with all the games for close to what it is.
Yeah. It's like you played it like almost none.
Right.
It's brand new, basically.
But the problem is now is I've already bought Red Dead. So then I'm going to have to go out and buy that game again for the Xbox.
Well.
But it's fucking beautiful. And something else, like, I wasn't home.
Yeah.
And I was just driving. I ended up in a game store, quote unquote, ended up in the game store.
Oh, okay.
So I bought the disc version.
Yeah.
It's fucking two discs.
Yeah, it's gigantic.
Yeah. And they
There's
haven't
like a
even.
A data disc and then the game disc.
Right. And they haven't even released the Red Dead Online,
right,
which is going to basically be their Fallout 76 or their GTA Online or their MMO version, where you're going to be in a live world,
right,
and it's just going to grow.
That's pretty crazy,
because GTA Online is basically an MMO.
Yeah, right? I didn't quite understand that until recently. I was looking into it, and yeah, it is basically like an MMO. It's like a whole second game, basically.
Yeah, and I was reading about Fallout 76 and something that Bethesda said that hit home, and I thought it was pretty awesome. They're like, we created a map.
Yeah.
And we created an idea.
Yeah.
But where the game goes from here, we don't know.
Right.
It's up to the people that play it. The people are going to create this game, and that right there, I was like, wow, finally game developers are getting it.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to get into MMOs, but it's basically an MMO or some kind of new age version of it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying that game.
What are we talking about today?
So, without further ado, today we're discussing SWTOR gearing and with a focus on comparing it to PvP. PvE versus PvP, I should say. So, all the differences between PvP and PvE gearing, and also comparing SWTOR to other MMOs and how other MMOs tackle this problem of having, you know, one gear type for or one gear leveling system for PvE and PvP, or you know, having different systems for the two, or you know, things like that. So to start us off, Nezer, what is your favorite MMO?
Well, basically SWTOR, man. I've been with the game since beta, so you know, basically coming up on 7 years now. You know, that's pretty much my go-to game. Kind of like, you know, Marcus, you were just saying, it's like, yeah, you want to play Red Dead Redemption 2. And, well, there's other games that are cool, but I keep coming back to SWTOR because I love it so much.
That's, yeah, I feel the same way. It's hard to stay away. So besides SWTOR, which other games do you play? Or which other MMOs, I should say?
Honestly, now not much. I mean, over the years, I mean, I started off, oh gosh, you know, WoW, you know, again, beta and WoW. When I was originally, I go back to, I had Pong, I think back in the 70s when I was like a real little kid, but, you know, television and different games growing up, console games, but, you know, then RTSs for a while, you know, like StarCraft and the original Warcraft, because I was a Warcraft fan. And when I heard World of Warcraft was coming out, you know, Perpetual World, you go in with a whole bunch of people. I'm like, all right, this is it, sold. So I've been playing MMOs since like 2004.
Did you ever play Star Wars Galaxies?
You know what? I dabbled in it, but my first experience was, all right, I'm going to take a left over here in Tatooine, and I wound up in the desert, and I kept running and running and running, and all I saw was sand. I'm like, all right, I don't know where the hell I'm going. Fuck this. And then I just waited till WoW came out. Sure. You know, since then, I've dabbled. I've played Rift. I've played Guild Wars 2, Neverwinter, as I said earlier, and there's probably a couple of others I've probably dabbled in a little bit too. So, you know, just, you know, I just love that whole genre, the perpetual online. And like, you know, Nick, you were saying Red Dead Redemption 2 has got like an online perpetual version. That's kind of intriguing. Are they going to be like an MMO? I don't know.
Right. You see, and I never played GTA Online. I just never got into GTA, which frankly, now that I'm thinking about it, I really should have given that, you know, more of a try. But
is it going to be like, you know, multiple players running around? It's like, oh, you know, hey, there's Max running over there. I mean, what is it? I mean, single player?
No. So what GTA Online is, it's basically you're playing in Los Santos, yeah, and it's a live world. So all the players are people like us, just like in an MMO, just like in Star Wars or Elder Scrolls Online. And I don't know all the details. Like, I don't know if I can just go up to somebody and try to kill them.
I know there's, you can.
Right. I think there's levels.
Yep.
And you can
team up to like go do heists or something like that, which would be kind of like an op.
Right. Which is pretty cool. Like in Red Dead, like that would be pretty fucking sweet. Me, you and Al, we go to try to take down a fucking train.
Right. We're robbing the train.
Exactly.
And like one of us is holding the passengers while the other guy's like
blasting him.
Yeah. Beating up the conductor to get the safe code or something like that.
I mean, so that's another one I've played. You know, I never really did the Skyrim stuff. I don't know. I was just never into the whole single player thing. I love the online grouping with other people, the community thing.
But it's the same fucking thing.
Oh, Elder Scrolls Online
and Skyrim are the same fucking game. It's just instead of like computer generated NPCs, it's people.
Well, that's why I like the MMOs versus the single player. Like, you know, I know Nick, you know, like you're huge into Spider-Man and all that. I'm like, okay, imagine if that was in the world and, you know, me, like everyone else, is a Marvel junkie.
Right.
Imagine that that was, another superhero MMO.
That'd be awesome. Then you could team up with people to take down a big
Well, there was one.
Yeah.
There was an MMO, City of Heroes.
Well, they also had the Marvel Online, which was like a Diablo style, and I wasn't crazy about it.
Marvel Heroes, it was pretty fun. I played it for a little while.
Yeah, you know, four Thors running around hitting the same boss. I mean, didn't care for that.
Well, yeah, but in, you know, City of Heroes was an MMO, and I never played it, but it was basically you made your own superhero.
You basically
picked the basic class, like, do you want to be the Superman type, or do you want to be the Spider-Man type, or do you want to be the Iron Man type?
Yeah, and
you
like start technology-based.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
And you slowly build your superhero, which was a cool game, but, you know.
Right, that was during my, like, I am, like, addicted to WoW phase.
All right, so you kind of ignore other stuff that came
Well,
out,
that brings up the saying. Perfect point of, it's MMOs consume you.
Yeah.
Right.
And like Red Dead Redemption, there's an ending. Right. The game's gonna end.
Yeah, and or then at least the story, and you can go do some side stuff, but it's not the same.
No, it's not the same at all.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna come out with DLC, you buy it, and then you're gonna beat that, and then it's over.
Right.
And eventually, unless you get into like the online version, the game's dead to you and you can move on.
Right.
There's an ending.
Right.
We're in an MMO, it doesn't fucking end.
Right.
Because now look at 5.10's coming in SOTOR. Oh, we get more story, we get more of this, we get more of this. Now it's never ending.
Right.
We're all hamsters.
Just running on the wheel.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Well, I agree.
But it's a wheel that you willingly participate in because it's fun.
Right. Oh, I tried WoW for the first time, I don't know, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah,
3 months ago.
I was busting you for it.
Oh, yeah, you fucking, everybody did. Yeah. Everybody's like, you've turned the corner if you start to play WoW.
Yeah.
Even my wife, when I bought Battle of Azeroth,
yeah,
she was like,
expansion.
Yeah.
You she, got into it at the wrong time, though, Marcus. You really did.
Well,
like too late?
Some of those early expansions were phenomenal. And it just, well,
I'm going to tell you right now why I don't like it. I do not want to spend my time in cutscenes reading. I'm spoiled by SOTOR.
Yeah.
Every cutscene is voiced, and I want to spend no time reading in fucking Hobgoblin about how the Diggledorf is, you know, taking over fucking Azeroth. I want to hear him say, blah, 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 Diggledorf taking over Azeroth, like with a voice.
Yeah.
And that's because I'm spoiled in SOTOR.
Oh, they're not voice. They don't have voice actors.
Oh,
they have. They do have. They actually have really upped their game from the early on. I mean, God, when Vanilla WoW when it first came out, pretty much everything was text based. I mean, they've gotten actually better with certain storylines that are voice acted and some cutscenes, but the majority of the quests, and there is a shit ton of quests, are the text based. And yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you, man. That's one thing SWTOR has just got down. BioWare does a great job at that.
So, mind you, I made it, I think, to level 15.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah,
I didn't even touch the new expansion.
Yeah.
Didn't touch it. But I think at some point, you know, I think the only way I'm going to play WoW is, like, if I put it on my laptop. And, like, when I go somewhere, make that my go-to laptop game. Because I only put one game on my laptop at a time. So, like, right now, SOTOR is on it, and I'll delete it.
Yeah.
And I'll put a different game on, like before when I was on vacation over the summer. You remember I was playing a shit ton of Minecraft.
Yeah, and I was ripping you for that too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marcus, were your leveling experience of 15, was it all solo or were you grouping up?
No, I was solo.
With AIE guys. Well, so you were doing the solo content. You weren't actually doing the content with other players then.
No, because I don't think you can group with people until you're level 10.
Oh gosh, I don't remember what it is now. That
yeah, either way. Well, and that's the point is I find that coming into WoW, I have a token to start at 110, which I want to do it because I really want to try raiding in WoW because I hear it's incredible.
Compare the two, right?
Yeah. And
I I've never been a raider really. I'm a PvPer by nature, but you know, I dabble, do some raiding. I'm right now, I kind of have a group. I'm getting with the Bad Feeling guys every week. And, you know, not hardcore. Never done hardcore. I've never done nightmare mode ever. But I love the SWTOR raids. They're awesome. They're so good.
But there's only 10.
Right.
But they're fun. They're fun.
I'm not saying anything bad about it. I enjoy it a lot. But what I'm trying to say is there's an endless amount of content. Blizzard has the money, and they soak the money into that game. If you go on to Twitch, I'll go on right now as we're talking, and you look at how many people are watching
or streaming
the games.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy how big WoW is compared to SOTOR.
Look at when we went to PAX. I wish I had taken videos of it, but the World of Warcraft section was as easily as big as the entire like Sony PlayStation section.
There was
enormous.
Remember we asked, it was a 4-hour wait to play the demo of Battle of Azeroth.
4-hour wait. That's longer than any game I think we saw there.
Okay, so I just signed into Twitch. There's 151 people watching SOTOR.
Yeah.
Red Dead Redemption, there's 43,540 people watching.
Yeah.
This is not the streamers. This is just people watching.
Yeah, very.
And there's 16,391 people watching Warcraft.
That's crazy.
151 people watching SOTOR.
Yeah.
My point. Right there.
Well, you know, it was the original one. I mean, so it's got a massive, you know, crowd base.
Well, of course, yeah.
But you know, like, it's a different model. You know, when they got the new raids. Sure, they got the raids, but they don't like bolster them and bring them up like SWTOR did. That's unique to SWTOR. That's really cool that SWTOR did that.
Well, they have to, because they don't have enough content to keep it fresh.
But you know, that was a really genius move. So here are all these raiders that are doing all these raids, and they might have like two or three or four raids current where SWTOR has like 10 because they have to. They don't have the development team and the resources that the 800-pound gorilla has.
Right.
But that was really neat how they brought it back up. So you can go do an EV, which that Tourney Ball is a great raid. I love it. It's gorgeous. It's the first one they did, and you can still do it. I think there's a little bit more they can do, but the fact that they leveled it up is so cool. I mean, wow, man, one of my best raiding experiences ever was in WoW in the expansion Burning Crusade was Karazhan. What a great dungeon. I felt like you're raiding Haunted Mansion at Disney World. It was so cool.
Right.
But then now you go in and here you are, however many levels above, and you can solo it like in no time flat. It kind of loses some of the magic there.
Right. That makes, yeah.
But they come out with enough content to keep you intrigued and busy, and they're constantly keeping it fresh.
They keep the content locusts into the game for sure, and that is one thing that WoW does really well.
I call myself a nerd,
mm-hmm.
and with me being home now because of the baby and stuff, BlizzCon is this weekend,
right?
And you can buy a virtual ticket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's $50 and you can watch the entire, any of the videos that are there, any of the panels, like you can rewind it, you can watch it and you can watch it live. You can do whatever you want. And they're giving people for the weekend. If you get the, virtual ticket, it's $50.
Yeah.
You can play the vanilla WoW demo.
Oh.
So they're coming out with a new server that's basically the original WoW, the grind, and all that stuff. And you can play that demo of it this weekend. And I was telling my wife, I think I might do it just to something to watch. I'll put it on the TV. My kid doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, she may tell me to put on Elena of Avalor or something at one point, but who cares? And then I'll switch it back.
Right.
You know, thank God for smart TVs, right? right. But I guess I'm going to ask everybody here.
Yeah.
Why do we love SWTOR? And I guarantee all of our answers are a little different.
Yeah.
Because we all play SWTOR in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with you, Nick. Why do you love SWTOR?
All right. So
even though it took you two fucking years to play it.
Well, I've said this before, that things that I find myself really liking, like video games in particular, are games with a rich like lore background and like a universe to put yourself into, because the biggest thing for me is immersion. So for me, obviously I've seen every single Star Wars movie and read the books and stuff. So a big reason why I love SWTOR is it's such a fleshed out universe that you're putting yourself into. And who doesn't like a lightsaber, as Marcus has said, 100 times over?
Two lightsabers.
And Marcus particularly likes two lightsabers.
Right.
But for me, to be able to put yourself in a whole new, it's the same universe that you know and love from all the movies and, TV shows and stuff like that. But at the same time, it's fresh and different, and all the content and stories are new, but they're new but familiar at the same time. That's why I love SWTOR. So for me, it's all about the story and that really cool universe that is created. But what about you, Nizer?
What you guys were saying, it's Star Wars. I mean, come on, how cool is that? I think there have been some people said that if this game were not Star Wars, would people be playing it? and honestly, probably a whole lot less, way less right. people. I think a lot of people are getting into it because there's lightsabers and because it is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But you know, BioWare is so good with their stories. When a lot of people knock Kotfi and Kotet, I kind of thought they knocked it out of the park from a story standpoint. The cinematics, what they did, I thought it was really engaging. Hmm. The problem with it, it just didn't, you know, like it didn't learn the lesson from WoW, where it didn't keep people engaged. You know, like people are gone, you know, handful of hours and they're done. It's like, all right, what's next? And they didn't really have anything really on the plate next, but great storytelling. So obviously you got that part. The community, you know, honestly, in all the MMOs I've played, to me, SWTOR is the best community. I love it. I mean, the devs, I mean, I've met Eric Musco and the other guys. I was down at the Orlando Cantina. They're so approachable. You know, the podcasting community. I mean, how I met you guys, right?
Right.
You know, so it's what a great community. So that's one of the things. I mean, from an MMO standpoint, I love the Trinity base, the tank, you know, the tank DPS healing combo. Just, mm-hmm. I like that style. All right. You know, like the whole Final Fantasy. No, not interest. Zero interest in that style of play.
You're saying Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah. And
it's still pretty much the same thing. It's still tab target.
But the whole graphic style and
well, that's Trinity, a different story. Yeah.
You know, and some of the other like Guild Wars 2, and you know what, the whole Trinity style is more like the WoW, traditional WoW style. I mean, I totally dig. And honestly, you know, I really love the way the combat feels. You know, well, I played WoW for, you know, years, 7-8 years I played WoW and loved my characters. But then here comes SWTOR, and like, here I'm playing my operative. I'm like, God, I just love the way the characters feel and the way they play. So, I mean, that's just me. That's a personal thing. The combat system, the graphics are cool. The questing, the story, that's all cool. And I actually really dig the PvP. A lot of people have issues with it, you know, and there are some things. But one of the things that I really like about SWTOR is the PvP is some of the most balanced PvP of any game I've ever been in. And I think it's also one of the limitations of WoW. It's going to sound weird. You guys didn't really do any PvP in WoW, did you?
No, I have never played WoW.
And okay. I've only leveled to level 15. Yeah.
So they have some really kick-ass, what they call battlegrounds, you know, war zones. And they're epic, like 40-on-40 massive battles. Guild Wars 2 is like these massive, huge realm versus realm PvP. But the problem is when you have this mass combat versus like SWTOR, which is 8-on-8, like, oh, little dinky little 8-on-8, it's really hard to balance classes when you are 40-on-40. So you have massive amounts. Think of it, Marcus. You're going to have your Marauder haul ass and jump right into the middle of combat versus 15 or 20 other enemies.
Right.
You know, you're going to die like in half a second, right?
Oh, yeah, I die all the time.
You have some really ass-kicking defenses that you have to basically be able to survive and then do some massive damage. So you don't just get pelted by 20, 20 snipers in the background, right?
Right.
What does that do to the balance when it's 1-on-1 or 2v2 or 3v3?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that is we hosted – an event for Star Wars that was in the Rishi Stronghold. And I'll tell you, man, it was watching the survivability of some of these.
Yeah, I was the one that won that, if you remember.
SEMA won it.
No, that was me, dude. I'm the one that got the spider tank.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought I was thinking about the second time.
Okay.
You know, absolutely. And that what was cool about it, because, you know, as a PvPer, I watched you guys because, you know,
PvEer, you mean?
I'm a PvEer and right. They're PvPers.
Right. Got
you it. Know, they know when to hit their defensives and they fucking heal themselves. There's no fucking healing on a Marauder.
Right.
Once you know, your health, you get one shot and one opportunity. You do your damage and you're supposed to force cloak and run away until you recharge a little bit or hope somebody heals you.
Right.
And that's what was cool about it is seeing that that you being able to heal yourself in battle, where as a Marauder, I don't get to do that.
Right. Yeah, Marauders are great classes, and that's one of the problems of any ranked. I don't do a lot of ranked because it is based on composition. You know, if you have the right makeup of a group, you can just kick ass. You don't have the right grouping, you just get your ass handed to you.
Right.
Yeah, so but it's still, as a whole, I think SWTOR is really well balanced. There's no one that, you know, as a lot of people rag on lethality operatives, you know, going back to my main. Right. It's a terrible class. You know, you go talk to Snave, he'll say, you know, who's doing lethality operatives? You know, it's rank amateurs. You know, so the stabby McStab version is where it's at. And I love the lethality. It's the dot base because I know how to play and I do well. But in certain scenarios, it doesn't really shine in ranked. I mean, that's why, you know, here it comes in when we did the Mega Knight, which was awesome in the Rishi. You know, but it's just the way the class works. It works really great. It's pretty well balanced. I mean, I could take you on, and I think I kind of like kept attacking you every time I saw you on when we did the was that the new Vanden whatever, that new war zone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. You know, you any 1v1, it's a really well balanced game, which I right. really like about it.
Sure.
Oh, so Marcus, why do you love SWTOR?
Because it's Star Wars. So I pre-ordered it. I got the collector's edition. And I've said this a million times on this fucking show that, you know, it was at the height of Call of Duty. I played Call of Duty with my friends instead of playing this game. And I came back when life started to slow down. And I haven't looked back. And the one thing – so in the beginning when I played it – and I guess my focus has changed. So in the beginning mm-hmm. when I started playing it again, it was the story. I was sucked in.
Yeah, like me.
Yeah, I was in a couple of guilds over time. I fucking loved it. I didn't really care about the guild. I would type in guild chat, yo, peeps, what's up? And then that was it. Never did any group content. Didn't care to do any group content. Just like knowing I was in a guild because I was getting a 10% experience bonus, but it was fun.
Right.
Then in that process, I started listening to Max and Seema's podcast. And that's right there is when my focus changed.
Right.
And I started running with the Wednesday night team with Jana, his team, and I started ops. And I was like, whoa, where the fuck has this been my whole life?
Right.
And, you know, you can play soccer, you can play baseball, but once you're out of those sports,
you're like done.
Yeah, there's not much you can say that you rely on seven other people to do their fucking job to accomplish something.
Right.
And that's what I love about the game now. So in the beginning, I would say it was story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got me in. And now I would say it's my community. And I'm being selfish in saying mine. But I'm saying like the AIE community, the Utini Cast community, the Bad Feeling community, all these, you know, the Wookiee Alliance and the Passionately Casual people, all of those guilds. And that community has really kept me here and made me happy to know that there's so many. It's such a tight-knit community, and I feel like WoW is a tight-knit community, but it's so big that it's hard to say it's tight-knit because there's so many people.
Right.
And I went to the New York Cantina, met Gildy Zen, and we had a great time. I took my wife. You know, at the end, we took a picture, and they had, like, the backdrop, and it was, like, a blue screen, but it was of – what was that, the planet for the Chiss?
Umbara?
Umbara. Yep. So, no, it wasn't Umbara. It was the other one.
Copero. No.
Copero. Yeah. And that's what we were standing in front of. And we had a blast. And I talked to Musco. I talked to Keith. And I talked to Charles Boyd very briefly, but I don't really have much to say to him because he just likes to talk about lore. And
right.
I mean, whatever. I'd rather talk to Musco for an hour about the community. And I'm really hoping I someday get to talk to him.
That would be awesome.
It would be because I love community stuff.
Right.
And as a community manager, that job is fucking tough.
Yeah, I can't imagine being that guy.
Yeah, because you can never make everybody happy.
Right.
Me and you could be really happy, But Nazir, as he said earlier in the show, he's not fucking happy. Yeah. And in Musco is the face of listening to that crying and bitching and happiness.
Yeah.
Just, so he's getting it all ways.
Just swimming through a sea of trolls.
Exactly. What I like about Eric, is the fact that he actually was a podcaster before he started working for BioWare.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he was working on a ToroCast pre-launch. So he was one of the first podcasters podcasting the game. And then they did they brought all these podcasters, all the content creators into BioWare to like test out the game and just to spread the word to the community. And somehow, I guess, hooked it up and he became the community manager.
Sure.
That's awesome. Like, he can relate to us.
Right. And that's why I want to talk to the guy. I'm hoping someday we get to. So anyway, those are the reasons why we like this game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming in game update 5.10, I'm going to lay this down. Game update 5.10, they're coming out with another level of gear.
Right.
So the last couple updates, they've given us new augments of gear. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're creating a new grind for us players to go and fetch.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you're at max gear. All right, let's give them some new augments to get. Right. Oh, if you play max level stuff, master mode or nightmare, we're going to give you the highest augments possible because you're going to need it for this last boss.
Right.
And it's a grind game. So it's to keep you grinding for a purpose.
Right.
So this new update, which I'm going to say the truth, I'm blown away by this update because they're giving us so much.
In a non, like, full expansion. Number. Yeah, not expansion.
Right. Like, was this part of the expansion? And they're like, fuck it, we're going to give it to them now. And then we'll create something later for the real expansion. So I'm excited for that. Now, the gearing update. So you're going to be able to get 252 artifact quality, which is purple.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get 258, which is your gold legendary quality. The way I understand it is the only way to get the 258 gear, you have to run master mode ops.
That's what I took away from the stream as well.
Right. And they've clarified that, but I still don't fucking get it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But that's
the fastest way, but not the only way.
Okay. And now you're going to be able to earn it in other different ways. PvP, you're going to be able to get it in the boxes. You're going to be able to run the Ossus dailies or Ossus, whatever the hell it is. And you're going to be able to do all these things. But the fastest way to do it is via master mode ops.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to go against what Nazir was saying in the beginning of the show about how he thinks that they should have PvP gear and PvE gear. I like the single gear level because it allows a guy like me who doesn't PvP to be able to go into a PvP arena or Warzone, whatever, and have an opportunity to kill somebody.
Oh, right.
So if I... if I only want to do PvP once every month or 2 months and there's its own set of gear, I'm going to be basically naked next to you guys who are just destroying me and it's not going to be fun.
Right.
Where if I go in there in my 248 gear, I can kill a few people.
Yeah, you stand a fighting chance.
But I understand the other side of that coin. Here's where BioWare is in a pickle, in my opinion. The new gear has to coincide with the command crates.
Right.
Because the command crates are a part of this game.
Yeah.
And I, when me and you were at level 70 and Nazir is command rank 300 and me and you were command rank fucking zero because we just dinged level 70, we still have an opportunity to be able to order, get the gear.
Right.
Where he's already at that top level, but he still has the chance, and we're almost even to get that chance to get that gear once we get our command ranks up.
Right.
And then you can grind that out to get it. But I want – hold on one sec. Let me just finish this thought. I want the grind – if 252 gear is going to be the gear, then in the expansion – 252 should be the base level gear. that and there should be like 4 or 5 tier gear levels to get you there. So almost this is a jump start, because it sounds to me like this gear update is a time sink to get you to the expansion over the next year. And then as soon as that next year comes and the new expansion, this fucking gear is worthless. So you might as well just stay in your 248 gear. Go ahead, man.
Okay, so here's where you're right, and here's where you're wrong. I mean, you're right and wrong both at the same time. Okay, so but because you're looking at it from a PvE standpoint, I'm looking at it more from a PvP standpoint.
That's why I was so excited to have you on the show.
Okay, I'm glad to be here. Okay, so here's the deal. I actually, like you, I actually liked it when they got rid of PvP gear directly, because for me. Okay, great. I could grind it, and I could do my war zones, and I can go get my, back it was like 216 eye level gear. So I'd have my gear, and it would be great. I'd get over to Yavin during the Shadow of Revan update, and I'd run up against other people in the on the PvP shard, and I'm like, oh, here's two guys. I'm gonna smoke their ass. Me 1 versus 2, and I'd smoke their ass because they had PvE gear and I'd have PvP gear. And I love that. I'm all into the open world thing. It's one of the parts about WoW that I liked. Okay, so but the problem was when I on those few occasions that I wanted to do a raid or an operation, just like you occasionally want a PvP, I want to dabble in operations because, you know, it's cool. They're really cool. EV's really awesome. You know, some of the other Karaga's Palace, you know, cool stuff. If I'm running PvP gear, I'm seriously gimped.
Yeah.
So when they got away from that and they said, all right, we're going to make one gear set. All right. And they gave an equal progression. You could get it either through PvP or PvE. And ultimately with the command crates, they botched it at first, but they fixed it pretty quick. You know, I felt, okay, I can get my end game PvE / PvP gear, and I can compete. The problem is with 5.10, they're creating a gear set. Now, some of this, I'll admit, is theory crafting. We haven't really truly seen it in practice. I'm not on the, PTS, so I can't really say. And we haven't seen it truly in practice yet. But everything I've seen so far is – the quickest, fastest way to get end game gear is if you're a Nightmare Raider, right?
Which it should be.
What they're stating. Yeah. Okay, fantastic. It's great. Now, you, Marcus, I think you said this like 2 weeks ago on the show. You said, well, man, I'm never going to get my, you know, end game gear because I don't do Nightmare Raids. You know, I do story mode, or I do, you know, veteran mode, right? Well, you don't need end game gear to do that. You don't.
Correct.
If you are a PvEer, you don't need end game gear.
Correct. To do the story mode content.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
But what do you need as a PvPer?
That's a good point. You do need the end game gear.
You gotta have the end game gear. And when you have PvEers having the exclusive right to get to that end game gear the fastest, it creates an imbalance.
Right.
It does. Because those guys are going to get it. I mean, I'm just like on Discord for AIE. I'm asking, so what's the over-under as to what the gear, price of gear is? They're saying 500 million credits per item. When the fuck am I going to get that kind of money?
Well,
never.
Never.
But like everything else.
One piece.
Well, right, but that's
I'll just get there eventually. Sure. Right. But how many war zones where we have a group of 4 people who are Nightmare Raiders, and there are some groups that will do that will come in and decimate you. Right. I mean, it kind of kills the enjoyment of it. I hate to say it. It does.
But I disagree too, because I've played against some PvPers who were in 236 gear and I was 248 and they wiped the floor with me because they know how to do it. And I'm not saying that's the case. I just think, well, I agree with you. I agree there should be 2 separate gear sets, but I think the separate gear sets are coming in 6.0. I think they haven't figured out exactly how they're going to bring it back yet.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming back.
Well, my point would be if you don't do 2 separate gear sets, I think you need to make sure that your top level gear can be reached in a similar time frame from both a PvE or PvP avenue.
And I think they may fix that. They may fix it, but right now, from what I'm hearing, they're not.
Yeah, it seems, I agree. It seems pretty unfair currently. And like you said, you know, you can't know until you actually play it for real. But it does, that does seem unfair to me, coming from an outsider's perspective. I think they need to balance it to where you can, now I don't know how you progress through PvP gear, but you need to have an avenue where if this is the elite gear, then maybe only your super duper elite PvPers should be able to get it. And it should be really hard to get from a PvP perspective, but it should be equally as difficult to get in PvE as PvP.
Right. Well, and I think they're going to see how it goes. Yeah.
Or they should give, like, for example, the ranked players. And I don't do a lot of ranked. I do some, but I don't do a lot because that's kind of toxic. But you know what? It's if they give the ranked players, for example, the same progression to get it, you know, similarly as the Nightmare Raiders, then fine, great. Then there's the balance.
Yeah.
They haven't done that.
Right.
Well, my opinion is everything should be ranked. They should just wipe the floor with the two separate, make everything ranked and be done with it.
Oh, I think that's what Chuck said once a while ago, a few months ago. He said the exact same thing, and I agree with that. It's like, why a distinction between ranked and unranked? They actually, I don't know if you guys remember that, but Eric said that they kind of had their own internal, when they did the matchmaking, they had their own internal ranking system.
And that makes sense.
You know, it's like, why isn't everything an ELO system? You know, if you, how many times you play versus how many times you win versus lose? Why isn't everything ranked? I don't get it.
I don't either.
I agree with what you guys said. I'm excited about, it's like, wow, there's a ton of content coming in 5.10, and I'm looking forward to seeing that, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I love the whole, you know, guild v. guild and that kind of matchmaking. That makes it a lot of fun. So, like, we'll do the AIE versus Bad Feeling, for example. That's going to be a whole ton of fun. I can definitely see, you know, MFN where we're doing that. But I don't know. I got concerns about this new gearing system. It's tough.
Yes.
The command system was broken in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And they fixed it.
So I think they're going to come out with it. They're going to see how it goes. A month later, they're going to fix something. Then a month later, they're going to fix something. By the third month, they'll have fixed it where it's a comfortable rate for everybody.
Probably.
I
agree with that.
If you have to run a master mode op to get the things, I think you should have to run triple the time in PvP in order to get that gear, because I know that if I can get full 258 gear by PvPing, that's all I'm going to do. I'm going to quit life in PvP.
Right. It should be a balance. It shouldn't be one or for the other. It should be balanced. Yeah.
But in every other goddamn game, when you play the harder content, you get the better gear. That's it.
Right.
But so, Marcus, I mean, then exactly, you're making my argument for me. That's why they should go back to having split gear, go back to having expertise.
Well, I agree, but they don't have it now.
Right.
And I think this is the beginning of them fixing it without them saying, hey, we're dumb.
Split this.
Yeah, we're dumb. We should have never split this. Sorry, guys. This is where it begins. This is almost like the prelude to fixing the gearing system.
Pain if they do.
Yeah, I can't imagine that this isn't the beginning.
Because honestly,
the writing is on the wall.
One of the reasons why I said, yeah, fuck it, let me try check out Neverwinter. Part of that is because I'm kind of feeling the pain coming into it. Like, God, you know, this new grind starting over again. And I'm going to be, I mean, look, real life gets in the way. I mean, you got the new baby and you know how tough it is to make time to get in game. And, you know, real life gets in the way. And so I'm a kind of a casual player in terms of the hours that I can play. I'm going to get raffle stomped here, you know, when I do get on.
Well, I think it's going to be relative. I think in the beginning, when it comes, everybody will play it and you're going to have your people. There's people that have already beaten Red Dead the day after it came out. They just played it straight, did all the story stuff, and they beat it.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. People are going to just immerse themselves and beat it, and nobody's going to be happy. I think you go at your pace. And if you get your dick stomped a couple times because you're not in 258 gear, which I don't think there's going to be a shit ton of people in 258 gear right off the bat. I don't think it's going to be like it was with command ranks where people are just going to play it and grind as hard as they possibly can for 2 days straight. And then all of a sudden they have 248 gear.
Right.
I don't think it's going to be that fucking easy. And Maybe it will be. And it, think only
about, time will tell. Think about it. You can get, what are they saying? The way to get it is you got to buy a piece of gear for four of these crystals, right? Well, how do you get these crystals? All right, think about it. How do you get these crystals? You can do it by doing weeklies.
Right.
You can do your OSIS dailies, your PvE dailies.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are a PvE-er and you love PvE, you can get crystals in, you know, whatever, however many ways. I don't even know what they all are now. Right. PvP, okay, you can do your weekly, you know, get your 20 war zones in and get your weeklies. I'm guessing is how it's going to work. Again, it takes a lot longer to do it that way.
But it should.
Why should it?
I think that's what you're saying, Marcus. If you can do content by yourself versus having to group up and coordinate with people to get something done, I think the solo content should take longer to do. Because I think in terms of an effort, right? Yeah, of course, there's a lot of effort in doing things by yourself. But the effort of coordinating with other people and finding other people, even if you're just solo queuing and talking to them.
You're not going to be able to queue a nightmare raid and be able to win.
Right. Yeah.
You're not.
The time and effort spent on, you know, obviously I don't do either thing. So I'm just coming at it from an outsider's perspective. Let me qualify.
But you're right.
But with that. But I think the group content, if you are successful, it's like a high risk, high reward. Like, it's hard to coordinate everybody together to do a nightmare mode op. So if you are successful with it, it should take a shorter amount of time. But now where I have a question is how much shorter, because I don't know what that ratio is, because I think the solo stuff should be take longer, but I don't know how much longer. If it's like 10 times longer, maybe that's not quite
fair. It should be.
But if it's like 4 times longer or 3 or something like that, maybe that's more reasonable. I don't know where that happy balance is
or what currently is.
You know what I mean? Guys,
what I'm saying is it is PvP bias. I mean, PvE biased. I mean, for example, if I did literally, like, you know, go talk to Chuck. He says he wants to come in when those few times he can get on the game, he wants to PvP. He wants to pop into a war zone. He wants to do it. I mean, we talked about, you know, hey, me doing Conquest, and I do it because so I can get the CMTs, those charge matter trans, whatever the hell they're called, so I can get my augments. That's why I do it, okay? And what do? I do PvE content because that's the path to do it. If I were to do war zones only, I think you get like 400 war zones to 400 conquest points to participate in a war zone. That would take me 37 matches to get my damn conquest.
Right.
On certain weeks.
How long would it take you to do that?
But on certain weeks, if it's a PvP week, you get a shit ton of conquest points for running PvP.
You get the conquest points, but, well, no. You get like the CXP, but you still get about 400 per match.
Well, that's a lot.
You may get like 600 for a win, but you get 400 per match.
Okay.
Okay. It's still going to take you 25, 30 matches to get to your conquest. That's a crap ton of time. You can do it much faster. Man, I can go cram through Rampage or whatever.
But I'm sorry, but getting the best gear in the game is meant to be hard. And
I never said it wasn't hard.
What I'm saying is the time investment should be there, because these nightmare raiders are going to go in and they're going to fucking fight tooth and nail to get the first piece of gear, right? So they're going to do a random drop. So there's 8 people in an op. You beat Tithe for the first time in Nightmare, one piece of gear drops.
Right.
So now you have to go back and do that fucking fight again. So the next guy can get it.
Yeah.
And then the next guy can get it.
It's hard to balance. Admittedly, it is hard to balance because you're right. It may take a long-ass time to get that first kill. But then when they do and they start getting in farm mode and they can farm it, it's like, bam, 20 minutes later, then they got another piece of gear.
But they still have to beat the other 5 bosses.
But they can still farm it. Every week they can farm it. So every week they're going to get at least the one. Yeah. So it is hard to balance. I'll give you that. All I'm saying is there's no easy path to – there's no comparable path with PvP, which is why I think they need to go back to a whole set. When you base – and this goes back to the traditional vanilla WoW. you know, tier gear is based on progression rating is what it is. We're going back in this in 5.10 to progression rating is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. When you have progression rating, you can't balance it unless you have a separate gear set for PvPers. You can't.
It's coming.
I mean, later.
Well, the writing is on the wall. It'll come in 6.0 or maybe 5.11 or something. It's coming.
But until then, it's going to be painful for PvPers. And my concern is that a whole bunch of PvPers are going to leave the game.
Listen, people come and go every day.
True.
I, you know, and here's the community side of me. You know, I've watched people come play a shit ton. I've had a lot of fun with certain people. I'm not going to say his name, but I had a shit ton of fun with this one person. I mean, he was in – we had our own Discord server with a couple other guys. Like every Thursday we were running something and it was fun. And then he just dropped off the face of the earth because he was tired of the game. So people come and go all the time. And
that's where the AI community comes in. What I was talking about. You stay in because of the community. People may change game to game.
And you're going to want the best gear.
Right.
And right now, the clear path to do it is the hardest PvE content. That's the clearest path, the easiest path to do it. But they've also said you're going to be able to take your unassembled components and trade them in with your 248 gear to upgrade them. And the first piece of every week is going to be 500 unassembled components. And the second piece in that one after is 1,000 unassembled components. Right. So if you have a stockpile of those unassembled components, you're going to be able to buy your gear right away. So day one, there might be people in full 258 because they had unassembled components. Until it comes out, we don't know. But I agree with you 100% that they need PvP gear because
the
current system is flawed.
Yeah,
if they perpetuate that progressive rating.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I believe that the hardest content should give you the biggest rewards.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you clear a nightmare hop, I think you should get 1,000,000 fucking credits because it's not easy.
Oh, yeah.
Or the hardest or the newest one.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Yeah. I'm not saying if you beat EV, if they brought nightmare mode back to EV. I'm not saying that you would get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. People would farm the fuck out of it.
Actually, WoW had a system once, and it's been a while, so I'm not totally remembering it fully. But there was a time with WoW where there was like a massive gap in eye level between the raiding gear and the PvP gear. And it was so big where the hardcore raiders would come in and didn't care about their PvP gear because their eye level was so high they'd come in and just destroy the PvPers in their gear. You know, God, it's just that kind of gear system is what can really make it very difficult for PvPers. And that's why I'm saying I don't mind the PvEers with their nightmare rake, hardest content per se. And God, I could never be. I mean, those guys are insanely good. You know, they should get the best gears, but they need the best gear to continue on and start getting into farm mode where PvPers is a whole different gear set. It's a skill set too. I mean, look, you know, we did that Mega Knight and that was a blast. And you saw me coming in and I'm like, I almost 1v2'd people, you know, matter of fact, I was with Thon. We were talking, he was my teammate as it were.
Yep. I remember that.
Right. And you're like, oh, come on, Niz, whatever. I was like 1v2, and I almost eke out a win against two people because that's what I do. I do PvP.
Right.
You know, because those guys aren't normally using those skills in PvE content.
Right. Absolutely.
Whole different skills.
My thought is after the new year and these gearing changes come, you should come back on the show.
Yeah, and we can rediscuss.
We love it.
How it actually panned out.
Because this is the first time we've had somebody on our show that's so passionate about PvP. And I'm eager to see your opinion. Because clearly, my opinion, and Nick is really unbiased in this, so he doesn't really
Yeah, I don't really have a dog in the fight.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, Marcus is my cousin, so
no, it's not slightly biased. No.
I try to be relatively objective when I'm looking at it.
Well, right, but you're looking at it from the perspective of, I play this game very casually.
Yeah.
And the gear doesn't matter to me. Yeah. Where me, I play the fuck out of this game, and I do PvE. Where Nazir is...
plays a lot and plays PvP a lot.
And he's passionate about that. So let's do that. We'll figure out when this is coming out, and maybe like 2 or 3 weeks after, we'll have you on the show.
Yeah, it'd be cool. See how it actually translates into reality.
Right. Well, awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I think I hear Carrie coming.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.